Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light, save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light, won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
An olive has to go through three stages for its oil to run. It has to go through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. And just like the olive, some of you may have felt like you go through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. You went through all of that for your oil to flow. Now your greater is coming. If it had not been for the shaking, I never would have been ready for the making. No. If it had not been for the beating, I would have never knew how anointed I would be. Oh yeah. If it had not been for the pressing, I wouldn't be
preparing me, preparing me, preparing me.
refreshing in the spirit, preparing me for greater.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are so excited that you have tuned in on tonight, and we want you to know that greater is coming. No matter what it is that you may be going through tonight, I don't care what it is, God is on your side. And guess what? He will bring you out. And so sometimes there is a shaking going on in our lives, but shaking, there's a shaking in the spirit, but it is preparing us for greater things to happen in our lives. So we just want to give God all the glory and all the praise and all the thanks for giving us this opportunity to come before you tonight. And we want to thank all of you for tuning in on tonight. I know that there were many things that you could be doing tonight, but you decided that you would come forth and hear a word from the Lord. And we know that we have a word from the Lord on tonight. So greater is coming, and there is a shaking in the spirit. There is a shaking in the spirit. And when there's a shaking in the spirit, let us not get afraid, for God is getting ready to do a new thing in you. God is getting ready to do a new thing in you. So we praise God on tonight, and we just thank him for all that he is doing and all that he is going to do in our lives. So come on and give the Lord a hand clap of praise out there in radio land. We are so excited for you tuning in tonight, and we are so excited about this word that is going to come forth on tonight. But first of all, I want to let you know that we are a member of the Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, located at 5883 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge. The phone number there is 678-565-7099, and if you want to get in touch with us through Butterfield's Ministries, you can dial 770-906-0607. You also can reach us at Butterfield's Ministries Worldwide.com.
And you can go onto our website. We have some items out there, a book out there, some songs out there that you can get. And also Stephen Butterfield's book, Marriage, the Journey, How Do You Handle Your Baggage? There is Hope. And so there's quite a few items out there that you can go out there and support the ministry so that we can continue to bring this broadcast to you every Saturday night at 8 p.m. And we've been having ourselves a great time over the last 8 years bringing forth this broadcast and all the speakers that have come forth and helped us to do this. We give thanks to each and every one of you, Pastor Stephen and I. So we thank you so much for tuning in. Our church services on Sunday morning starts at 8 a.m. and also at 10:45 a.m. We have a Sunday school at 9:45. So if you would like, please come out and join us on tomorrow morning. On Wednesdays, we have Bible study at noonday and then at 7 p.m. And both of those times, we are really enjoying the word and really getting some wisdom and some knowledge concerning what God is want us to do. And so we thank God for giving us these opportunities and ways that we can share the word, and even with this broadcast, that we are able to share the word all over the world. So we thank each and every one of you for tuning in. We are having Thanksgiving service on Thursday on Thanksgiving. I believe that service starts at 10, so please come out and join us. We also have service on Christmas Day, so we want you to come out and join us there as well. At the Jim Lee Smith Community Center, we are getting ready for our registration. We started registration today for our basketball league. So those of you out there in Radio Land that have young people that would like to play basketball, please come on Monday evening at 6 p.m. and get them signed up. Even if you don't have the monies, just bring them on out and get them signed up and let them get a feel for what is going on at the Jimmy Lee Smith Community Center. There will be other kids there, and so they can come in and play ball, and we'll have someone that will be helping them and coaching them along the way. So please do that for us if you don't mind. We have an awesome word tonight that is coming from Pastor Clifford Fair. He is no stranger to us, and we want him to go ahead and press one on the phone so we can bring him live on the air. Truly, he is a man of God. He knows the word. He studied the word. He can teach. He can preach. And it is just an awesome, awesome experience when he come forth and bring the word. He brings us so much wisdom and knowledge. It is just awesome. So we are going to go on and bring him on live tonight. Pastor Fair, you are live on the air.
Good evening. How are you? Good evening.
You're doing good.
Good. I hope this day finds you blessed and highly favored, which I know it does.
Yes, sir.
And we've been fighting the cold up here. It's in the 20s now up here in Illinois. So you can send some of your sunshine up this way anytime. It'll be just fine with us.
Oh, down here too. But it was in the 60s.
Oh, man. See, that's a heat wave. If you've got the Bibles tonight, we're going to be in the book of Matthew. We're going to be looking at a familiar story in chapter 14. But there's something that hit me in this passage of Scripture that I just could not get away from. And that's what amazes me. You can be reading along, and it's either a punctuation mark that jumps off the page, or it is a thought, or in this case, it's one word that captured my attention. And on this one word, it just kept coming to me, coming to me, and coming to me. So I'm looking forward to this. I've got a title for this message, but I'm not going to give it to you just yet. I'm going to give it to you here in a little bit. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the manifold blessings that you give to us each and every day. As unworthy as we are, Father, you find us worthy to be called the sons of the King, the sons of the living God. What an honor, what a privilege that is. Father, I pray tonight that I would decrease so you can increase, because, Father, I want nothing more than to have your word change lives dramatically and drastically through the power of your word, through the power of your anointing that goes along with it. Father, we give you praise, honor, and glory that we have this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In the 14th chapter of Matthew, beginning in verse 22, says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It's a spirit. And they cried out with fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and he began speaking. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, Oh, thou of little faith, where didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. They that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. We have seen this verse, we have seen these verses countless times, but the one word that captured my attention is in the very first sentence. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. I couldn't get away from that word, Pastor Butterfield. That word just kept ringing to me, and it kept speaking to me. So I took some liberties to do some investigation work on that word. I looked it up in the dictionary. The dictionary definition set my imagination at work, because the dictionary definition is to force by imposed stricture, restriction, or limitation. So putting that in that sentence, and Jesus forced his disciples to get into the ship. And you go on with the definition, is to restrict a motion to a particular mode. You think of a boa constrictor. It constricts its prey to where it can't breathe. Well, see, since the disciples were having to be forced to get into that ship, my imagination started running with me. Okay, well, maybe this topic was not something that was just thought up. Maybe it was a discussion, and the disciples saw on the horizon the dark clouds and saw something brewing, and they did not want to get in that ship. They did not want to go out in the middle of that water. Maybe and because they were restricted, like a boa constrictor, that Jesus clamped down to shut their mouth so there could be no more argument. See, this is where my imagination went with this word. And Jesus constrained his disciples to get into that ship and go before him under the other side while he sent the multitude away. See, these verses, these 12 verses here, they paint a very strong picture of us, for us, of separation. They form a picture of storm and stress that we see in 22 through 24. They form a picture of fright that we see in verses 25 and 26. They form a picture of reassurance in verse 27. They form a picture of wavering in verses 28 through 31. And finally, they form a picture for us and to us in verses 32 and 33 for worship. So we can see a lot of things in this passage of Scripture. We may have read it several times, which I have, and it never has struck me, this word, constrain. But I think it's very important for us to get a hold of here, and we're going to break it down. You see, Peter had to show us three very important things as he obeyed, as he did what he did and got out of that ship. First and foremost, he gave us a very prime example of his affection to Christ. His love for Jesus was so strong that he desired to come to him. When he sees Jesus, he was doubtless, and it was during the storm, and he had many a time wished for to go to Jesus. Peter was the one that was impatient to be with him. He does not say, "Bid me walk on the water." He says, you know, as desiring for a miracle state, but he said, "Bid me come to thee." So Peter is, he's showing a mighty, powerful affection for Jesus. "Let me come to you no matter how." Peter had already been through shipwrecks. He was afraid to get out of that ship. But yet his love was overcoming that fear. True love will break through fire and water. If duty calls and duty calls to come to Jesus, Jesus was coming to them to relieve and deliver them. Lord, Peter said, "Bid me come to thee." When Jesus is coming towards us in a way of mercy, we have to go forth to meet him in the way of duty. And herein we must be willing and bold to venture with him and venture for him. Those that would benefit by Christ as a Savior must thus, by faith, come to him. Peter's given us a powerful example here. Christ had been now for some time absent, and hereby it appears when he absented himself, it was to endure himself so much more to his disciples at his return, to make it highly seasonable and doubly welcome, and affectionately embraced when gracious souls, after long seeking, find their beloved at last in the midst of the storm. They told him, and they will not let go. The second thing Peter showed us is an instance of caution and due observance at the will of Jesus, that he would not come without a warrant. Not if it be thou, I will come. And Peter didn't say that. But if it be thou, bid me come. Even the boldest spirits have to wait for a call to hazardous enterprises. And we must not rashly and presumptuously thrust ourselves on them. Our will to services and suffering is interpreted not willingness, but willfulness. If it have not a regard of the will of Jesus and will not be regulated by his call and command, such extraordinary warrants as to this Peter, we are not now to expect. But we must have recourse to the general rules of the word. If the application of which the particular case is with the help of providential wisdom is profitable to the rest. Peter was showing wisdom by calling to Jesus, "If it be you, bid me come." The third thing that Peter shows us here is a tremendous amount of faith and resolution, that he ventured out of the ship on the water when Jesus told him to come, to quit the safety of the ship and to throw himself into the jaws of death. It didn't matter how many shipwrecks Peter had been in. He was willing to step out of that ship and go to Jesus, to despise the threatening waves that he so lately dreaded. Peter argued a very strong dependence on the power of the word of Christ. Without concern for the difficulty or danger could stand before such faith and such zeal. You see, Peter is showing us some powerful, powerful things. Going back to the verses, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, to go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And you know, Jesus didn't just tell them to go there. We've got to stop and realize that Jesus, right then and there, he gave them an assignment. He didn't say, maybe go to the other side. He said, go to the other side ahead of me, meaning he's going to meet them there. He knew what was going to happen. He knew there was going to be a storm, but he knew that they were getting into a vessel that was built to endure, guess what? Storms. Jesus knew that that water was going to get rough. He knew that water was going to get choppy. He knew that wind was going to blow. But he gave them an assignment. And that assignment was to go and get into the ship and go before him to the other side. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say you might go to the other side. He didn't say you're going to fail. He said go to the other side. Not only did he give the disciples an assignment there, he commissioned them to do something that they might have felt was impossible, because he had to force them, he constrained them to get into that ship. So against their better judgment is what I'm seeing here, because of the word used in the King James Version, they did not want to get into that ship. But Jesus commissioned them, he assigned them to do just that. And you see, it gets even better. Because when he had sent the multitudes away in verse 23, they had just got through feeding 5,000. Jesus just got through performing a miracle. And he's telling his disciples to get into that ship. He had to force them now, according to what the word says. It says he constrained them, which means to force. And he went up in the mountain to pray apart by himself. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. You see, there used to be two watches until the Romans got involved. There then they became four watches. The first watch is from 9 p.m. to midnight. Or excuse me, from 6 p.m. to 9 o'clock is the first watch. The second watch is from 9 p.m. to midnight. The third watch is from midnight to 3 a.m. The fourth watch is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So sometime in that fourth watch, Jesus came walking out to the disciples on the water. So you know it was pitch black. And here this ship is rolling and tossing and being beaten about by the waves. His disciples, in verse 26, saw him walking on the sea, and they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And he knew what they were going through. Jesus was on the mountaintop watching them. He was praying by himself, and you know good and well, he had a view of the ocean. But Jesus, being all-knowing, being omniscient, omnipotent, everywhere, he sees all, he knows all. He knew that they were going to go through this storm. Otherwise, he would not have given them an assignment to get into that boat and to go to the other side. Peter, in verse 28, answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter came down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And he began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? See, right there, my imagination started going crazy with me again. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And this is where we come to the title of this message. And I'm going to say it with a little attitude because of what the verse 31 is saying. I can just picture in my mind, this is my imagination running wild with me. I can picture in my mind Jesus looking at Peter after he said, Oh, be of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Showing his head forward, throwing his hands up in the air and saying, What are you looking at? And you got to realize what he's saying here. What you looking at? Are you looking at these waves that are beating this boat silly? Are you looking at this wind that's tossing and turning like it's going to roll and crash? Or are you looking at the Word? What you looking at, Peter? So we need to ask ourselves that question. What you looking at? When we are going through turmoil, when we're going through struggles, when we're going through strife, when we're going through storms, we have to ask ourselves, what are we looking at? Are we looking at the waves? Are we looking at the storm? Are we looking at the wind? Are we looking at the financial difficulties? Are we looking at what the doctor says? Or are we looking at the Word? What you looking at? And, you know, I say it with attitude, what you looking at? And there's a lot of different ways I can picture somebody saying that. What you looking at? And Jesus talking to us as he is trying to do what Pastor Butterfield said, a God that can bring you out. He's looking for ways to bring us out. He's showing us the Word, but we're afraid of what's going on around us. We've been wrecked several times in our lives. We've been caught on shipwrecks, as we see in the book of Acts, and they were told to whoever could to grab all the pieces and swim to shore. There's so many of us that can admit we've been making it through life on broken pieces because our ship has crashed around us. So what you looking at? I can never feel what you looking at. It doesn't matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter what we're feeling in our body, in our mind, in our spirit. It matters what we're feeling deep down in our soul. What are you looking at? It can only be the Word of God that brings us to rest. It can only be the Word that delivers us. It can only be the Word that brings us out. What are you looking at? You see, we are meant to see a connection between Jesus' prayer and Jesus' presence in these verses. Although he was not physically in the boat, he was spiritually present with his disciples. Every fear they had was unfounded. Every thought they had about demise was unfounded. Jesus was, in fact, thinking of them, and he knew they were in danger. Although he is the same God that is illustrated in several places, that the Word is something to stand on. What you looking at? The same power. Peter thought it was strange that he was walking to him on water, but it was foretold in the Old Testament, in Job, that he walked upon the waves of the sea. Job chapter 9, verse 8, which alone spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, as it is to ride upon the wings of the wind. He that made the waters of the sea a wall for the redeemed of the Lord. Hello, somebody. He that made the waters of the sea a wall for the redeemed of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 51, verse 10, it says, Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depth of the sea a way for the ransomed to pass over. Oh, it was told in Job, and this is part of the commission, part of the assignment that Jesus gave to them to get into the ship and go to the other side, because he said they're going to walk on the waves like us on the wings of wind. He said in his word that they were going to have the depth of the sea made for a ransom, for the ransoms to pass over. We are God's ransom. We are the ones that God intends to have walk on the waters of the sea as a wall, as riding on the wings of the wind. That word strain just continues to capture my attention in these verses. Jesus had to force those disciples to get into that ship only to show his word over and over and over and over again. And my imagination says, what you looking at? Oh, you see, that ship didn't stand a chance against the word of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus already knew, he already foresaw what was going to happen.
Mm.
Though the wind was contrary and they were tossed with waves, yet they were being ordered by their master to the
mm-hmm.
other side. They did not lack and they did not come back, but they made the best effort that they could to go forward. And though troubles and difficulties may disturb us in our duty, they must not drive us from it. But through the midst of them, we must press forward. Oh,
amen.
My goodness. You say what you're looking at. You can think of anybody in the history of the Bible. David comes to my mind. I know I refer to David a lot, but I can see him standing in front of Goliath. He did not look at the 9-foot-9 giant in front of him, but rather he was bold enough to say, what you looking at, Jack? You got a sword and shield, but I've got the word of God.
All right.
David put Goliath in his place, and then David brought a rock to a sword fight, and guess what? He won. So he said, in my mind, what you looking at? Moses could not talk. He stuttered. He didn't want to do what God told him to do. But God said, what you looking at? You've got Aaron. I'm going to send Aaron with you to do your bidding. What you looking at? You looking at your speech impediment, or you looking at the word? Job, a man that was put through everything imaginable, and his wife told him to curse God and die. And Job, in all in my mind, said, "What you looking at? You looking at these boils on my body? You looking on the sores on my body? Or are you looking at the word? What you looking at?"
Amen.
Man, do we need to ask ourselves that question? What you looking at? What you looking at? And when you ask yourself that question, if you nudge your neighbor in church tomorrow, say, what you looking at? And then
what
tell
you
him, by golly, what you looking at? Let them know what you looking at. You can answer it with attitude just as much as you can ask the question with attitude.
Mm-hmm.
We look at Jesus' power of walking on the water, and so many people are put that and are amazed. Wow, he walked on the water? He got Peter out of the boat, he walked on water? They forget to look at the fact that this is the same power that Jesus illustrated in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 6, where he made iron swim. When the axe head went into the river off of a borrowed axe and he stuck a stick in the water, the iron swam. So why would it be so surprising that Jesus could walk on the water, especially with what Isaiah says, especially what Job says about the wind as wings of the wind and being able to walk on them? The power that went into Peter walking on the sea, it's the great instance of Christ's sovereign dominion. Oh, his sovereign dominion over all creatures. Guess what? He was walking on the water. He was showing that they were under his feet. At his command, Peter got out of the boat and put all of dominion under his feet.
Wow.
He had to be commanded to get into that ship, but he was put over dominion under his feet as he walked on that water. You see, one word gets your attention. When you're studying the word, study it in depth. Don't just read through it real fast. Ask God to show you something. Ask God, amaze me again today, and let him reveal something to you in his word. I don't know how many times I've read this passage and seen that word constrained, and I just read over it, and it means nothing. It hasn't meant anything. It wasn't time. Now is the time. Somebody needs this. Somebody needs to hear this, that the disciples were forced into that ship. Forced. They were restricted as a boa constrictor. Their mouths were shut. They couldn't say anything. Just by the dictionary definition alone. That's what I gather. That's what my imagination takes me.
Mm-hmm.
They forget. Peter forgot his natures. He forgot all of the creatures' natures that were under his feet the second he stepped out on that water and he began walking over the top of them. He forgot about the change and the quality that we call essential. We need not to inquire how this was done, whether by condensing the surface of the water or which was transfigured as he pleased. It is sufficient that it provides and it proves his divine power. For it is God's prerogative to tread on the waves. You see, Job 9:8, which alone spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. Treadeth means that you're treading water. Everybody knows that. But it goes on in Job 9:8, as it is to ride upon the wings of the wind. We're told that we can walk on the water like the wings of the wind. Jesus didn't put this in the book of Job, of all things, for no reason. The man that was going through more than probably any human being has ever suffered. Paul and Peter and John all went through horrific things. So did a lot of the others. But to me, now this is just my own personal opinion, Job went through so much more than everybody else did because Job lost everything to stand for Jesus. He lost his family. He lost his children. He lost his livestock. He lost his wealth. Job lost everything except his life. And Job was so focused on the word of God. Job, of anybody, could say, what you looking at? He was looking at the word of God when everybody around him was telling him, no, you should curse God and die. You shouldn't believe in the God that you're talking to and talking about because look at where he's putting you. But Job wouldn't hear it. Job wouldn't listen. And because of his faith, because of what you're looking at, everybody around him that was naysayers got to see God restore to Job and restore to Job and restore to Job. So riding on the waves of the sea as the wings of the wind, he that made the waters of the sea a wall for the redeemed of the Lord. I think about that song, Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say So. Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say So. We are redeemed. It says it's for the redeemed. If this doesn't tell us that this is for everybody. We've been given an assignment. We've been given a commission. And the key to our assignment, now get this, the key to our assignment is to get back into the ship and go to the other side because there's somebody on the other side that needs us. You see, when they got to the other side, they healed a lunatic man. When you reach the other side, there is somebody sitting there waiting that needs you. They need what you've got. Jesus hasn't commissioned you. He hasn't assigned you to do something that you're going to fail at. We may stumble and fall and fail several times in our lives. We may be in the shipwreck that we read about in the book of Acts and hanging on to those broken pieces. But guess what? It didn't change Peter's heart. It shouldn't change our heart. Jesus might have to sit, he might have to force us at times to do things, just as he had to force the disciples to get into that ship. But look at the outcome of what the disciples You see, when they got back in the boat, when they got back in the ship, what was the things they did after Jesus told Peter, "Oh, thou of little faith, what did thou doubt?" When they came into the ship, the wind, what? It ceased. They were in the ship. Those people that were still in the ship watching Peter walking on the water, probably trying to scrape their chins up off the deck of that boat, were coming to the Lord and worshiping him. "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." We shouldn't have to get to the point where we say, where we hear Jesus look at us and say, "What you looking at?"
My Lord.
We should see it in his word. We should desire it just as much as Peter did. We should desire to be close to God, to go to him no matter what. Does not matter that we have to be constrained, forced to do things in our lives. Romans 8:28, "For we know all things work together for the good, that those that are called according to the Lord and loved." We are not given an assignment that's going to hurt us. We are not given us an assignment that's going to embarrass us. We are not going to give us an assignment that's going to kill us. But rather, we're given an assignment to get into the boat, to go to the other side, because there's somebody waiting for us. There's somebody that has a need of us, falling on our knees, falling on our face in prayer for them. There's somebody waiting there that just needs a genuine hug. There is someone there that needs a word of encouragement. There is someone there that needs to be able to see Jesus in you as much as the people on that boat saw Jesus in Peter that night on the fourth watch between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Pitch black. But yet they saw Jesus coming as if he were a ghost. You can't tell me if they saw that, they didn't see Peter get out of that boat and walk. The scripture is evident because they came and they began to worship. There's somebody on the other side that's waiting for you to get your worship on so they can enjoy what you've got. There's somebody on that other side that is needing what you've got so bad it could be a matter of life or death. The lunatic that they healed when they got to the other side, he was throwing himself into the fire. He was probably going to end up killing himself. But rather, the assignment was, get in the ship, go to the other side before me. Sometimes we're in that ship, and we don't have a clue where Jesus is at. Guess what?
My Lord.
He's on the mountain. He's on the mountaintop watching us. He's on the mountaintop praying for us. He's on the mountaintop fulfilling the commission that he gave us. He's on the mountaintop making sure our assignment is going to be glorifying him. You see, every assignment that Jesus gives us is for that purpose, to glorify him.
My Lord.
Every assignment that Jesus gives us is to give the devil a black eye and to show him exactly what he showed Peter, that all dominion is under our feet. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter when it is. It doesn't matter where it is. God is trying to show us through our assignment that he's given us. Go into the highways and byways and teach and preach the gospel. Go into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Go baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ. Go making disciples. You see, Jesus has given us a powerful assignment to reach out to the world outside of our front door. Jesus has given us such a strong assignment that the waves that tossed Peter and the wind that hit that ship in today's time, I'm not going to belittle it at all, but there's so much more that can come against us now. Man-made things that can come against us, and we let it. We forget who we are. We forget why we are. We forget that we have an assignment. We forget that Jesus looks at us and says, what you looking at?
Lord.
Are you looking at those financial troubles? Are you looking at the word of God? I would that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Are you looking at the sickness in your body? Are you looking at the word? He said in the book of Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. By whose stripes ye were healed. Puts it in the future tense. Prediction. It shows it in the New Testament. By whose stripes we were healed. Puts it in the past tense. It's done. What you looking at? So whether we ask ourselves that, every time we pick up our Bible, every time we see ourselves in the mirror, it's a good question to ask. What you looking at? Today, what you looking at? What you going to go through? What you going to have that you can say God gave you in your assignment? What you looking at? You know, it's a one word, Sister Butterfield, but it's a powerful word. And the dictionary definition of that thing just blows me away. Because Jesus had to constrain his disciples. He had to order them by force, restriction and limitation to get into that ship. He had to essentially shut their mouth. As he asked the question, what you looking at? Oh, my goodness. When we think about the things that we can go out and face every day, you've got to remember it's your assignment. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? That's your first assignment. To find someone that knows Jesus Christ, that cares about you and loves you enough to lead you to this man, the only man. I love the song that said, I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody that saved my soul. You see, we're all nobody. Compared to Jesus Christ, we're nobody. But he's given us a commission, and he's telling us what you're looking at. What you looking at? You can say that, and that's a question you can ask with the most attitude you want to ask. And I believe Jesus smiles every time we do it, especially when we're backing it up with his word. I believe he is extremely happy and joyful and rejoicing in us and with us and through us every time we can look at ourselves or look at somebody around us and say, what you looking at? What you looking at? No, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about the blood-bought redeemed that we are. Let me tell you about being a child of God. What you looking at? You see, I don't know what kind of attitude you got there in Atlanta area, in Stockbridge, but so many farmers around here can have an attitude. And it reflects, though, because you can see Christ in their attitude. And I love knowing that. I love seeing that. I love hearing it. This one word, this word constrain, has got my imagination going so wild, so crazy. I'm probably going to be on this word for a while, Sister Butterfield, because there's just so many opportunities, so many, it's endless. And to be real, it's priceless. Because I look at my life and see how many times Jesus has had to force me to do something, or I feel like Jesus has to force me. And it turned out okay. It turned out, in some cases, fantastic. It's like Peter walking on the water.
Yeah.
So many times we've seen and read through this verse, but I wonder how many times people realize Jesus is showing us an example of our assignment. You see, we're going to go through trials and tribulations. The Bible tells us we will. But the Bible also says, be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. So when we go through our storms, we can see Peter in ourselves simply because we can see Jesus in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus, his love for Jesus,
mm-hmm.
Peter had such a strong love that no matter what, he wanted to go to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get back to that place. We have to get back to that place of being so hungry that there's
mm-hmm.
nothing to stop us from getting
mm-hmm.
to the feet of Jesus. We have to be at the point in our lives where we take our assignment and embrace it. I mean, embrace it, embrace it, embrace it, embrace it. You want to see a God that can bring you out. Take a hold of your assignment like there's no tomorrow. Because there very well may not be. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're guaranteed the here and now.
Right.
Don't miss the opportunity to step into your assignment. Don't miss the opportunity to get back in that boat and go to the other side. You never know who is going to be waiting for you there.
Oh, Lord.
To go even further, you never know what's going to be waiting for you there. But I guarantee you, God has commissioned you. It's going to be something you don't like. It's going to be something that you're going to enjoy. It's going to be something that will give you reason to fall in love with Jesus as much as Peter did. Pastor Love, Jesus.
Yes. Woo. Praise the Lord, man. Oh, my God. That was so awesome. That was so awesome. Pastor Fair, what
yes,
you looking at?
What you looking at? I'm looking at the Word of God.
Oh, my God. All of you out there, Radio Land, what are you looking at? Because, oh, my God, and then the assignment. So if we get the assignment and we keep our eyes on the Lord, we can't do nothing but get to a place of worship because we're doing what God said to do. Oh, my God, my Lord, what you looking at? I'm going to use that, Pastor Fair. I will be using that. What are you looking at? We got to look at the Word. If we keep our mind, we keep our heart, we keep our focus on the Word, we cannot go wrong. It is so powerful to think about if you get out of the boat. That means you get off track. You're not doing what God said to do. But tonight, if we can make a decision, we'll get back in the boat. We'll get our assignment. We'll pick our assignment back up and go to the other side. And there's waiting for us on the other side. Amen. Oh, we give God glory tonight. We give God glory and give him praise. What you looking at? Hallelujah. We have about a minute and 24 seconds. But I want to take the opportunity to allow anyone that want to say something tonight, really, just press 1 on your phone, and we will bring you live on the air to talk to this man of God. I tell you, this was an awesome word tonight. Just press 1 on your phone. Time to bring you live on the air on tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Fair, we want to thank you so much for this word tonight. Man, this was awesome. Go to the other side. Get back in the boat. Pick up your assignment. And go do what God has assigned us to do. That's an awesome word, and we give God glory and praise for that word. Thank you, Lord, and we bless you. Bless you for each and every person that is on this call tonight. We pray, Lord God, that you will bless them, that we have heard this word, that we will take this word up, and we will begin to keep our eyes on the Lord. And we just bless you right now, God, believing that you are able to do exceedingly above anything that we could even ask or think about. So, God, I pray that each person on this call tonight and even later on in the future, that they will be able to take this word and run with it. We thank you so much for tuning in to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We will see you next week at 8 p.m. Just dial 917-388-4161 to the Turn on the Light broadcast. Have a great night. Ooh,